Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Ashwini and I'm filling in for Jen. And today I'm joined by Anna Lorden, who's a resident at the monastery. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, Ashwini. Thanks for the invitation.
Hey. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this. And perhaps I could give a little bit of an introduction before we jump in case there were folks that were not on the call with us last week. But on August 4th, I believe, we launched the new Bridge Walk campaign, and the campaign is called the High Five Challenge. It's in conjunction with our year-long focus of training to live in this year now. And the challenge is that for 60 days leading up to the Bridge Walk, we all commit to five practice commitments, and we track as a Sangha how we're keeping these commitments. And there's a groovy website where we can go log our commitments daily. And our goal is 10,000 commitments, feeding 1,000 children a day for 10 years to celebrate that. So We have Hannah here to tell us about what she's doing, maybe to start us off with, and then all the practice that she's seeing around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd love to tell you, first of all, about the process of launching the commitments. First of all, there was such gratitude for the invitation to commit to being on the radio show today, because that commitment supported the process of launching all the other commitments.
You were held accountable. You had to come up with five commitments.
Absolutely. It'll put a rocket under a person to launch their commitment. I noticed that there was a kind of low-level conversation around the commitments, maybe what to choose, how to get it right, a kind of low-level picking. And I noticed a kind of dribbling away of the energy in that, and just heard this really strong mentoring around it of how long are you going to let that go on for? That could go on until the day of the Bridge Walk. One morning I set the intention, I talked to the mentor about it, about, you know, really supporting the human to choose these commitments and keep them. It was that experience of the universe getting behind us 1,000% all through that day. Ways to support the launching of the commitments were dropping in, and the one that really kind of got it all going and changed everything was the idea to hold a launch party for Anna's commitments. to really get them started in, you know, fine style. And there was that experience of overwhelm of choosing the five. And so the mentor said, okay, all we're going to do today is write an invitation to the launch party tomorrow. That's all you have to do today. And so I wrote out an invitation to Anna to the High Five Commitment Launch Party, you know, just as I would to a really loved friend, exactly what I would want to hear. You know, you're warmly invited. All you need to bring is a recorder and your good self. I love you. I love you, and I can't wait to see you there in deep gusto. And I left it in her shoes on Saturday night for her to find on Sunday morning. and all through the day on Sunday, so that the launch party was going to be at 4:00 on Sunday afternoon. And all through the day, I just felt so excited about being invited to something where I knew that the person loved me and couldn't wait to see me. It was just a feeling of, you know, that being in gusto with the intelligence that animates and being high-fived. And when I got to the party, the first thing we did was make a recording to say, high five for coming, you know? And just really, you know, put the recorder on and just talk to the mentor about what commitments we wanted to choose. And then we put them up on the window in beautiful, colorful crayons, drew some balloons, because, of course, nothing says party quite like balloons. There was just such a feeling of celebration around it. And I just truly, I mean, that experience, that practice process of recognizing the conversation that was attempting to drain the energy away from that, calling it out and saying, that's ego, I know what that is. And this is where we're going to put all our energy and attention, just giving 1,000% to these high five commitments. And the way that, you know, I just felt so supported to do that was absolutely astounding. And it feels like, you know, just really, I mean, there's nothing quite like it, is there? That experience of kind of dancing from one commitment to the other and putting the sticker on the chart and making celebration recordings. Yeah, it's like
living in gassho.
Living in gassho, living how we've always wanted to live, and just letting life live the human as it's kind of, you know, moving to, as it's kind of bursting to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the beautiful thing that about that, Rainana, what you're highlighting is that wonderful place of it's all training, right? It's all practice.
Yes.
Just because we launched the High Five program, conditioning is not going to take a back seat and say, okay, you could do five commitments. And to catch that conversation and catch the process that prevents us from making the commitments is why we do this. Not necessarily to keep the commitment, but to not only to keep the commitment, but to just watch everything that goes on for us around it and to see that and to short-circuit that process and actually create a process of excitement and a process of celebration and a process of invitation, you know? How would life do this? And then to partner with life, with the mentor, to create a celebratory occasion in which that commitment process could be enacted. Wow, what a fabulous practice experience. I mean, it's always not what but how, right? You know, even if we never kept the commitment, if we watched everything that goes on for us in the process of doing that and we take care of the human through that process, that's what practice is about, and it's glorious.
Absolutely. And it was just such a feeling of, you know, okay, it's going to work really hard to mess this up, and we're going to work even harder not to let it. And just moving to that place of grown-up, conscious, compassionate awareness that can steward the commitments and steward the human and,
choosing really life over conditioning at every single choice point.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That is truly living in gassho. And that's what we're celebrating, right? This moment, this moment, the choice for this moment.
Yes.
So would you like to give some folks a little bit of information about what your commitments are or, how you chose that or a process around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first commitment is a commitment to daily appreciation training. For the human and all the participation she's doing and all the showing up. Based on the training principle that it's not enough simply to turn attention away from the ego narrative that says and will always say, you're not enough, not good enough, haven't done enough. It's not enough simply to turn attention away from that, but to train in the process of appreciation. And so there are two parts to that. I set a 5-minute timer and just really do nothing but practice appreciation. Just say, I love the way you, and I really appreciated how you, just like that for 5 minutes. And then I write a little note every evening, kind of appreciation love note to the human, just telling her what a joy it is to be training with her. And ask her a question, like, how do you want to be today? What do you want this life to stand for? And put that in her shoes so that when she wakes up and gets ready to go out, she finds the note, and it's the first thing that we record in the morning. And so she has that chance to be invited to look at this first thing, and the appreciation just continues. So the appreciation kind of dropped in as commitment number one, because it feels like that's what's going to power the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, doing it with that love, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the second commitment is some sort of participation in the community in Cantalumba in the project every day. And that could be learning a new Bemba word, recording and listening to one of the newsletters, anything that drops in around that. And so I've been having a lot of fun listening to myself speaking better on the recorder. So that's commitment number two. And then we've got daily participation in a big writing project that I'm working on, where there's again a pull into to overwhelm, but just to to support the human every day to participate in that. And then something around home care. So again, the Tantra is such a stellar training tool in all of this, that we just set the timer for 10 minutes and just kind of look to see what would take care of the space that we live in, and kind of and do that for 10 minutes. You know, the kind of the training principle there is like that the kind of unconscious process that I noticed around it is kind is like a process of overwhelm, or I haven't got time to take care of it today, and letting it build so that we do it all on one day of the week, and you know, but instead to commit to 10 minutes every day and just see what life can do through a human form in 10 minutes. And the place then just sparkles in gratitude, and really truly that kind of non-separate reality where the it's living in that process of care. And then the fifth, I think we're up to five. The fifth one is an extra sit in the evening, just to really give the human that act of love to to sit in the quiet of the evening, and it's a big thank you to to all of life to sit and do that.
Oh, wow. And what I love about what you're saying, right, Anna, is that there's such a conscious process of bringing consciousness to what karma is there, what are the issues that are up, what really needs to get done, and really, really paying attention to what you want to practice with, and the process that we want to imbue that practice with. And that's what Training to Live in This Year Now is about. That's the gassho part of it, you know? It's being present and allowing life to inform what would be the best way to take care of what's going on for life in the moment for the next 60 days. And it just feels so completely in that spirit that we're doing this campaign, which is love and wholehearted attention and taking care of. Well, I would really love to talk to you more about it, because there's one question I do want to ask, which is if you had to write in and say, you know, why do you train to live? Give us a word, Anna, why, or two. Why do you train to live in this year now?
Just, it's the best I can do to wholeheartedly say thank you for all that life is offering.
The best you can do. Oh, but that was perfect. The best you can do to say a wholehearted thank you for all that you've been given. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I would encourage everyone to go to the Sangha Inspiration page and record and see all the submissions we've received, because every one of them is a gem like you just shared with us. And so it, you know, just to feel inspired and motivated to keep up with all the reasons why we're doing this. And it's just it just gives me chills. And actually, a couple of them moved me to tears when I read it this morning. So deep gassho to you for joining us. And we're running up against the clock. But thank you so much. I'm really inspired. I really, really like that appreciation tip. I might add it to my five and make it six.
Go for it. Yeah. Well, deep gassho.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Michael, I'm turning it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was great.
Wasn't that fun? Do you think Anna will notice if I write down what she said as my thing? It was so beautifully stated. I bet just about all of us doing the practice could agree with that, right? Could say, yes, me too. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why we're doing it. We've been given so much, and we just want to express our gratitude.
Yes. And yeah. I just loved that 5 minutes of appreciation for the bin.
Oh, my gosh. Aren't we all going to steal that one?
Yeah. And to conditioning, you know, that's like a lifetime. Hearing a person appreciate, you know, conditioning is just dying in there.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And I love the put a little note in the shoe. You know,
yes.
That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. It's so much fun. You know, we say that it, so much. I understand people probably, you know, just who aren't having fun, especially just roll their eyes. But that whole conversation was just such an example of, no, folks, practicing awareness really is fun. It really is a good time.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually haven't been there to see the, you know, how we log in and all of that, but I'm excited to because I'm just so devoted to my five a day. Today, actually, I'm up to 7 already. Now, I'll have to check in and see. I think we'd still add just a 5. Yeah, I'm going for 300 between now and, and the bridge walk. But some days, you know, when there are a few, you get a few more in, I wonder if you can add those. Yeah, I don't know. I have to find out. But it's just so much fun to, you know, think of extra things. You know, what else would I like to do? How would I like to? Spirit campaign, and it's true that living in Gassho, it's good. Oh, that reminds me. The other thing Anna said that I like so much is doing something every day to connect with Cantalamba. That was just brilliant. I hadn't thought about that at all. But otherwise, we do get a little separated from why we're actually doing this specific thing right now. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing folks could do for Cantalamba is to read the weekly news email update that comes from Cantalamba, which I just love.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to stay connected to the community. We have our newsletter, and we have a newsletter, from practice in this part of the world, and then we have a little newsletter from that part of the world. So
yes.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know, I have to ask Ashwini about that. It seems like that would be a great thing to add to our newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
Something great. Like that. One of them for the month or something. Just to, that would feel kind of whole.
Yeah. Keep us tuned in.
Yeah. I know we get a report from... you know, on the Africa project, but to actually hear from the folks directly could be really fun. Anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have some announcements here.
Oh, good.
On the evening of Thursday, August 20th, you will be in Sebastopol, California, Sherry, for an engaging and insightful conversation on the power of practice.
Good Lord willing.
Yes, I'll be there too. I'm very excited about it.
Good. It'll be fun to see you there. I think we'll have a little Sangha gathering. People that we don't even think about being in that part of the world for that event might be just gathering together. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. Yes. And you and Ashwini will lead a workshop on the power of practice on Sunday, August 30th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Indeed, we get to go see some old friends in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I wish I could remember when I started going there. I was just thinking about this the other day, because I think it's been a long time. I got a letter from a fellow. This was before email, so a while. And he had read a copy of The Key, and he was a young guy, in his late 30s, so young, 4 little kids, and he was terminally ill. He had tumors on his spine that had become inoperable, and so he asked me. He had some things he wanted to talk to me about, and he asked me if I would come and see him. And So I did. And he lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That was my first trip to Harrisburg. And since then, for years, I went there and then took a little break because we stopped doing the retreats that we did in Pittsburgh. Now that we're doing retreats in Bethlehem, it's not that far. And so I get to go back to Harrisburg, and now Ashwini goes with me because, of course, she's going to that retreat in Bethlehem, too. And it's just nice. It's just such a it's a wonderful thing for me to see practice come around like that, or you know, just to who has come to practice from where, and being able to return to those places and see those people who might not make it to the West Coast, or might not even make it to a retreat. But they appear in places like that and stay in touch, and we are their Sangha, and they're our Sangha, and we get to make that connection, and I just really value it and appreciate it. So.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these and all other opportunities, please visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started, Sherry.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're live.
Wow.
You sound very far away, but you are. We can hear you.
Well, I'm trying over the computer. Is that any better?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, and you took me by surprise. Do I tell you my name and where I'm from and that kind of thing?
Yes, please.
Okay, my name's
please.
David.
We'd love that.
My name's David. I'm from Pennsylvania, and looking forward to going to the Harrisburg thing to meet you.
Oh, good. Good. Come up and say hello, please.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
So I'm not even sure I have a specific question, but here's the deal. I've suffered with depression for a long time. I'm now 58. I'm a teacher. I'm a musician. I've been, dabbling with Buddhism and Zen for quite a few years, and then I ran across your books, I don't know, 5 years ago or so, and I've recently been trying to ramp up my meditation practice. I'm trying to do the recording and listening, but it's not enough. It's not every day. And I feel like I've run into that big resistance. The harder I'm trying, the more the resistance.
Now, let me ask you this, David.
Yes.
Do you know why that is the case?
Well, yeah, I've read your books, almost all of them, and I know it's the conditioning is really resisting and kicking and screaming and
wants to keep you right where you've been.
Yeah,
wants to keep you right where you've been.
I see it happening, and it's like it's it's just happening to somebody else, and I'm just watching it as I, you know, I get angry, I flare up, I think I told you I'm 58, and I'm finding that I need to let go a lot of the things that I thought were, you know, filling all the gaps in my life. I entertainment, and I'm a musician. I felt like I needed to play every gig that came along and just fill up my life with stuff. And I'm trying to let it go, and it feels like I'm dying. It feels like, well, that's what I love to do.
Now, why would David help me out here? Why would you not do those things? Not do the things you love to do?
Well, because I think that I've proven that they don't really make me happy. I think they're going to. And what they've done is I just get in this treadmill of trying to do more and more and burning the candle.
Okay, so you're not actually doing what you love. You're being driven.
I feel like I love it.
Well, see, here's the deal. I love avocados, but if I ate 20 a day, it would be too much.
Yeah.
So you love playing music. You get driven to doing more because the story is you'll love it more if you do more, but in fact, the more is not the thing that you love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've read our book, so you know that if somebody said Sherry Huber has a rather paranoid view of life, that person, depending on how they define paranoid, would not be far off the mark. Okay? So if we accept the premise, just as a hypothesis, right? We accept the premise that there is a survival system that operates us, that wants to make our decisions for us, that does not make decisions for our best interest or that serve us, but make decisions that seem to keep us in a state of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and suffering, that when we try to get out of that unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and suffering, that system resists mightily. At the same time, it is feeding the dissatisfaction. I think anybody who pays attention for any length of time is going to see that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize that for somebody who hasn't paid attention, that sounds wacky. But once you start watching, it's absolutely true. So in the email class that we're in right now, it's just writing to somebody. So here's how it goes. This job is killing you. You know, the stress is killing you. You got to stop. These people are hateful. They don't pay you enough for this kind of misery. Okay? That's mm-hmm. the conversation I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And finally I get to, it's true. I've got to get out of here. I have got to quit this job. Are you crazy? What are you going to do instead? You don't have another job? You're going to quit this job and what, starve to death? Okay? Now, when a person is living in that, they think they're thinking. Okay? And they think they can't make up their mind. But when we pay attention a little bit, we realize the person is being talked to and being jerked back and forth from one side of unhappiness to the other side of unhappiness, and the only constant is the person is unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, Can we apply that to your situation?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So here's the deal. What instrument do you play?
I'm a trombone player.
You play trombone. Okay. And so I come to you and I say, David, I want to play the trombone. I love the trombone. I love the trombone. I love the sound of it. I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. I love everything about it. And I want to play the trombone. And you say, okay, all right, well, let's go. Let's get you playing the trombone. And I start out, and then I start in. You know, I don't want to. I don't feel like it's, this thing is heavy. Nobody, why didn't you tell me it's heavy? I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing this. Hey, now I'm not going to drag you through all of the back and forth of that, right? But at a certain point, this is what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, if you want to play the trombone, you need to play the trombone. You need to get out of that conversation. You need to stop indulging that nonsense, and you need to do what you say you want to do. Same thing with recording and listening practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you probably heard me say that I do not believe it is possible for a person to do recording and listening practice and be depressed. I don't think it's possible. But a person has to do recording and listening practice. And what we can't do is listen to voices that actually want us to stay depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter that I don't want to. It doesn't matter that I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter that the voices resist. It doesn't matter. It's what I'm going to do. Because I don't want to be depressed anymore.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the good news about it, David, is that you can record anything. And you can listen to yourself, no matter what you've recorded. It's the process that will change everything for you.
Right. Okay.
Do you have the plan?
I do.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, I mean, what liberates us, it's the God's truth, what liberates us is making a commitment to ourselves, for ourselves, and keeping it. It's the power of what Ashwini and Anna were talking about at the beginning, the good news. You know, why do we make 5 commitments a day and keep them? Why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because keeping commitments is what changes our lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You'll keep me informed, right?
Yes, I will. I will.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Yes. Look forward to it.
Okay, good. Good. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, David. Sherry, I am having some technical challenges here.
Uh-oh.
And
I
do not have internet in this moment.
Oh, that's a big technical challenge, isn't it?
So give me a minute here, and let me just see if I can work something out.
Absolutely. Take your time. We'll be here meditating.
Perfect. Okay, Sherry, I am back in business.
All right.
Another little technology miracle. Okay, let's see where we are here. Let's break for a message from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right
back. All right,
thank you. Hang on there.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, the
cue of...
What's that?
You sound confident.
I am. And
good!
My cue has been wiped out, which means that if you were in the cue before, you'll need to get back in the cue by pressing *6 and then 1. So if folks could do that... they'd like to make a show to talk with you today, that would be fabulous.
Otherwise, you and I can chat.
Yes. And I see some callers here, so let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Gabriel.
Well, hello, Gabriel. Hi. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. I only caught the trail end of the good news update there, and it just lit me up. I couldn't even – I mean, I don't even know fully what was being talked about, but just that heart-opening thing.
Uh-huh.
My first thought is to say it's so good to get to the sweetness of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so healing.
For anybody else who missed it, just to underline the magnitude of the fact that we are now feeding 1,000 children every day, plus, you know, their family. Right, so it's their moms who do the cooking and their dads who are doing the, you know, the whatever. Yeah, and every day. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous. Yeah, so exciting. And we've been doing it for 10 years. It's crazy. And that's what people are getting a chance to celebrate. We get to celebrate it by doing all these great things for ourselves together.
Yeah.
I mean, what could be better?
And when you say ourselves, you mean ourselves, ourselves.
Yes.
Not myself, mm-hmm. or our little selves here, but.
No, these are our big authentic selves, all of us together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The real thing.
Yeah, the real thing, because you know the little guys, the little selves, the little egos, they're not interested in any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's that, and that connects to that, that resistance that it's like, no, don't just stay asleep, don't wake up, let's be mummies, and then that. Saying, you know what, I'm not interested in this anymore. I'm actually ready to be alive, you know. And that's, I think, the sense of implosion, that depression is of, like, a lot of energy imploding. But then it's a lot of energy, but just going in, like, the wrong direction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All of life force is being consumed by the ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world is tiny. For me, for my version of it, you know, my world consisted of sitting in a chair. That was the best I could do. I could sit up, get from bed to the chair. So there, that was my world. I mean, at this point, I can't even remember the story that I lived in, but it wasn't a fun story.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so there it is. Now, I mean, you know me. You know me at the age I am now and the level of energy that I have. Can you imagine what it was like at 20? And all of that was being consumed by that system.
Yeah.
No wonder it doesn't want to let us go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it just makes you want to wake up even more when you hear it.
Yes. To have all that energy for life. Because when we get it that life is me, then all of that energy for life means all of that energy for me. I have the front row seat. I'm the beneficiary of all of that.
Yeah.
Now, what I do with it hopefully will be of assistance, right? Will be used by life for life in whatever way that is.
Yeah.
But it's flowing through this form.
Yep. Separation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or in this case, the lack of. You know, the energy is flowing through this form from life to life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why they call it enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, lit up.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I like lit up better. It's more modern.
Or awakened. It's what you started out talking about. You know, ego wants us to stay asleep.
Yeah.
No, we want to wake up.
Yeah. I love that word, awakening, spiritual awakening. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Just wake up.
Yes.
Very zen.
Very.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for indulging me. That was great.
Is that what we're doing?
Sometimes I feel like a junkie. You know what I mean? Awareness junkie.
Uh-huh. Well, I think there are worse things to be in life, don't you?
Yeah. I just enjoy this so much to the point of almost just in direct proportion to how badly I want to wake up. Like I just love awareness practice. I love awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I do too. I don't think there's anything better, and I think there is no greater blessing than to know that.
Yeah.
You know, we all know it on some level, but to know it consciously is just the greatest gift I think a human being can receive.
Yeah, that makes me feel so blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
It's a big gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the thanking life for all its gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has given, is giving.
Yeah. It's just giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really true. And, of course, when we slip into one of those identifications with ego, we don't see that. Then, once again, life gets really small, and it's problems, and this is wrong, and that's what's about me.
It becomes a nightmare.
Yes.
Because it's so overwhelming.
It's different. It's different from just being asleep, isn't it? If we were just asleep, that wouldn't be so bad. But we are.
Yeah.
We are asleep in a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or awake in a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Very confusing to me all my life as a kid. If I saw that, I was just very confused. Like, why are we lying? You know, why are we hiding things and just being deceitful? And why are we doing? We don't. That's not us. I just knew it.
Yeah.
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 And it's not. It's not us.
No.
So I support your paranoia.
Oh, good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just sometimes I wish we could sound more normal, but then I console myself with the knowledge that the Buddha came up with a completely different language to talk about what he was trying to communicate. So we're at least using the same words. We just use them in such different ways. And of course, I could check that out with Ashwini. The difference between Sanskrit and Pali, I don't actually know how different it is. But we can't use the same words in the same way to communicate something that is completely different. We could say almost directly opposite to what we have been taught to believe. We just you can't see through it that way.
And I like in the email class, if someone says weird, you're like, that's not weird, that's just plain out psychotic. It's not weird that, you know, ego will tell you don't do this and then do it and then you shouldn't have done it, and that's not weird, that's insane. That's my way of saying it. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's painful. There's a great deal of suffering. Weird is, a lot of society. But it's not directly responsible for causing huge amounts of suffering in a person's life. And that system is. Do I sound hard about it? Yes, absolutely. Do I think there's anything wrong with it? No. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Do I think it's outside of... No, it's not outside of life. It's our best opportunity to wake up. But is it trying to do that for us? No. is it our friend and it's on our side and it's trying to do the best for us? No, that's not what's going on at all. So we have somebody in our lives who is abusive, who's cruel and mean to us. Do we learn a lot as a result of that? Might that be contributing to our desire to wake up and end suffering? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is that person doing it to be kind to us? No. Mm-hmm. So it's not, again, we can't even frame things in the way we've been conditioned to frame them because that's not what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, amen. I'm so with you. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's so obvious.
Yes, once we see it, it is. Until we do, boy, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, as a little commercial for email classes, but it's what I love best about them. You know, that there's just a chance for somebody to say, da, 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 and I get to say, well, actually, no. And then the person can have a chance to see something other than what goes on in their head and what everybody probably around them is reaffirming.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's good.
That's a huge part of the reason why it keeps going, because of the massive amount of support that it generated for itself, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And then there's us.
And then there's us. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Those of us who are, escaping, waking up, in the process of waking up.
Being irresponsible.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
It's always
good to hear you and hear how you're doing.
Thank you, ma'am. And have a good night, all. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gabriel. Good night.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, I'd like to add that there's a massive amount of support on our waking up side now as well with our practice and technology and all the opportunities. It's just amazing.
There really is, isn't there? I know you do too, but I get to be in contact with so many people who are really far away and in places that, well, somebody said to me today, you know, there's probably not anybody within 50 miles doing the kinds of stuff that we're doing. And before this sort of technology was available to us, that means you're stuck out there on your own, right? 50
yeah.
miles, that's a long ways to try to get to somebody else that it feels like can speak the same language that you speak. But now, I mean, we just have so many ways to stay connected. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it's a huge blessing. Huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more callers here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Joy from Virginia.
Well, hello, Joy. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Good.
Sound like you're doing well.
Great. Great,
I have a question. It's been addressed in multiple ways, I think, but I'd like to hear. It's about pain. And
pain?
Pain.
Uh-huh.
And sort of low-grade. And I guess my story is, feels like it's draining pain. And I've done a lot around it. But I'd just like to hear your feedback on that and energy in relationship
mm-hmm.
to energy.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, Joy, what the pain is like? And is it like migraines or is it?
It's low-grade, dull ache. And so it's just it's like a little Chinese water torture thing. So it's not
not debilitating, it just never goes away.
Exactly. Or sometimes it will, and I'm like, oh, whew. And I get these, like, energy spikes, you know, and then it's back. So I do a lot around it, a lot of practice things around it, a lot of awareness, a lot of exercise, diet, blah, blah. But yeah, so it just sort of ebbs and flows. And it's interesting because it's actually a lot of the reason why I'm in practice now, kind of, you know, in a very roundabout way, between that and trying to fix other people, that's how I got here. So, yeah, every time I tried to fix someone, it seems that the fix was something for me. And somehow they were left out of the picture for, you know, so it's been kind of funny, actually. But, yeah, I think it would just be...
Okay.
Nice. That's it.
Okay. So the thing, Joy, that you said that I kind of wanted to speak to first is when the pain isn't there, there's an energy spike.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells me, whether it's... this is correct or not, we will see, is the amount of attention that goes to the pain when it's there. And when it's not there, then the attention is freed up, and that's what you feel as a spike.
That may be.
So what we tend to do, is when there's something going on with us, we especially when it's the kind of thing that you're describing, where it's, you know, it's always there, it's been there for a while, it's, you know, it's part of our lives, we sort of delegate a certain amount of attention to keeping an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being directed regularly, if not constantly, is probably too strong, but with great regularity to check in and see how it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still there? Is it hurting? How much is it hurting? compared to, so there's, it's like a constant conversation about that situation. Does this seem so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah. And so then when attention doesn't need to go to that, it comes back to you, basically, and is available for other things, and then whoosh, you know, you feel energetic and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I personally find helpful is to stop being the person who has the situation and become the person who is the support person for the person who has the situation. So if my head aches,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's hard not to take it personally, right? It's my head and it's aching.
Mm-hmm.
But if I stop being the person who has the headache and I become the caregiver of the person who has the headache, then my attention is no longer on the ache. My attention is on the person.
Hmm. Okay.
And what my attention is doing when it's on the person is seeing how I can help, care for, make more comfortable. Okay. So it's an attitude of mind of compassion and a desire to assist or serve. And so because we get what we do, we have what we do,
right,
then instead of having pain, which is what happens to me when I'm the person with the headache, what I have is kindness, concern, compassion, a desire to help, constantly looking to how might I assist, what would take care of this person. And so I get to have all of those feelings of compassion and loving kindness rather than the pain.
Right. Okay. I will try that.
Good. Yeah. Just become her dear friend, loving, unconditionally loving companion, caregiver. Yeah.
I'm thinking about, yep, how do I do that? Just thinking of ideas. So, no, I like that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of the thing Anna and Ashwini were talking about earlier. So you're going to make a lot of recordings about how you want to be with her, what you wish for her, you know, what you appreciate about her, how much you value her, and how committed you are to letting her know how appreciated she is and how much you care for her and how much you want to be present to her and like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you listen a lot.
I can do that.
Good. And then you can let me know how it's going.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Michael.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Joy. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dionne calling from Santa Rosa.
Well, a breathless Dionne in Santa Rosa.
I was listening to the previous conversation, and it was such a good, I mean, all of it was great, but I applied the principles and started running, so now I'm out of breath. So I'm going to find a spot where there's no wind. So, you know, it feels like my question was answered almost in this prior conversation. I wanted to ask you for some guidance around so going home, you know, just going home to be with family, and how, which
by
I think
home
is,
you mean you
to,
mean
when
back
I went home
to
I
your
went
roots.
I, yeah, okay. Which I know all of us do at one time or another, and this thing that happens that where conditioning completely takes over, no matter how dedicated with practice the being is, no matter how uh-huh. you know how much love there is for loved ones, and so uh-huh.
Do you mean the one that we talk about where no matter how much practice a person has done, they go home and they become 5 years old, like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so you know, I'm very aware that, and I live especially far from those loved ones, so that the time that I have with them is not their limited times, and I really don't want to live the rest of my life for those short period of times taken over by this process. And so I'm looking at what would support in between times visiting family, what would support a connection that's not ruled by conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you were saying to the previous caller around finding, I don't know, I'm not sure how you said it, but being the one who supports the one in this situation
uh-huh.
rather than being the one in the situation was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Rather than being the one who goes home to visit family, you
yes.
are the one who supports the one who goes home and visits
yes.
family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Dionne, what do you do in the in-between times? Do you talk on the phone? Do you email? How do you stay in touch?
Not very well. I talk on the phone with my parents maybe every other week, but not much with my siblings, and maybe we text once in a while, we email, but there's not a whole lot happening.
Uh-huh. And does it feel like that causes you to drift apart, or do you still feel like you're connected with them?
I still feel very connected with, you know, it's this kind of thing when you see each other, you feel like it was yesterday, and
mm-hmm.
that there's so much love and desire to be together, but then we all, I mean, I become 5 years old, and I think we all become 5 years old, including
mm-hmm.
our parents.
Right.
It's a bit messy. Yeah, so, but I think that it might be part of the answer, yes, the connection in between times, how to nurture that connection, even so that the phone call is not a formality, but
uh-huh.
more someone shows up to support one having the phone call. And
yes.
and who's talking is not the 5 years old, the 5 year old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just bringing that level of conscious awareness to it can
yes.
make all the difference.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because. Yeah, there's so much desire. It's such a setup, you know. Of course, you know, conditioning just
yes.
has a plan. We're gonna come and be loving and be and be connected. And then it sabotages the left and right, and then there's a lot of suffering.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Again, you've probably heard me say this, but years ago we had a monk here. Who had a difficult relationship with her parents, and she felt
obligated to call them, and I think wanted to call them, but it was almost always a disaster because the parents weren't happy with her lifestyle, and you know they didn't want her to be doing what she was doing, and they had different ideas for her, and it would just degenerate, you know, in a big hurry. And so what she did was to make a recording of what she wanted from the relationship. And so, you know, I want to be present. I want to be loving. It doesn't matter. The content is irrelevant. You know, whatever it is that we would say about that kind of thing. And she would get on the phone, and she would have an earbud in one ear. Now, this was back in the day of phones, right? You remember the instruments that you actually held up to your ear? And so she would have an earbud in one ear and the phone on the other ear. And I'm pointing at my left ear, so I don't know which one she used. But in that one where there's the speaker, it's just she's listening to a recording that I'm very softly just reminding her, just talking. And the sound of that, just the comforting sound, the reminder of what we're doing here and why we're doing it, just changed everything about the conversations, because she didn't get identified with the one who got defensive, felt bad, felt guilty, you know, all of those little kid places that we can get into with family. So something like that can be helpful too. Just anything that reminds us of what's actually true for us.
That's great. I love that idea. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And then with the siblings to, again, come up with some things that that would take care of you about them. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they'll do whatever they do. But you are taking care of her. Mm-hmm. In her relationship with her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be just, whatever you come up with that you feel good about, that expresses for you what goes on with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. And, you know, it was also really powerful to apply what was something in the email class about looking at the belief, what conditioning says about something, looking at the belief and what is actually so. And there were the voices were so loud during this whole trip and returning from the trip, that sitting down and doing that exercise, I actually did three columns, you know, and it was amazing to see the absurd beliefs that are in place and that I still didn't see. That are just absurd, crazy, and I live by them every second that I'm with them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that we forget, the thing that we fail to realize, is that there's a voice talking to someone who listens. Okay? If the voice talks, and sometimes we have this experience, and with awareness practice, increasingly we have this experience. The voice talks to somebody who doesn't listen to the voice, who actually hears the voice and is able to say, "That's insane."
Mm-hmm.
But usually the setup is the voice only talks to the one who listens to and believes what the voice says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways that we talk about this is going from the dark room to the light room to the dark room to the light room, right? Mm-hmm. When we're in the light room, I mean, there are no problems, right? Life is amazing. You know, there's situations and issues and things to take care of and things I want to work on, but there aren't any problems. Everything is great. I step into the dark room, and there's nothing that is great. Right now, nothing changed except
I've become a different perceiver. Right? And so when that perceiver hears the voices talk about what's going on, that listener believes that story, and there I am. Now, I don't know. We don't know. Again, when we're in the light room, it seems insane that we could ever believe the reality of the dark room. It's just crazy. But when we're in the dark room, if somebody tries to tell us about the light room, we think they're a fool. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So the identification is so complete. And that's that experience of how could I believe that? How could I act out of that? That's nuts. But not to the person who listens and believes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that one would be the one needing support.
The one who needs support is the one who doesn't want to believe the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to step into the dark room, who doesn't want to get taken over, right? That's the person. And so the power of that exercise you did of writing down all of these beliefs and assumptions and seeing how crazy they are is that we get so familiar with those that when we see them in our head, when we hear them, we go, wait a minute, that's on the list. And it starts to wake us up, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's why I encourage people to get them on a recorder. Okay, so one of the crazy things the voices in my head tell me is da 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 da. What's really true is dee 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 dee. And I listen to those often enough that when that lie goes through, it flags me. Oh, that's like the recording. Okay, right? And over time, it actually does assist us to wake up and stay awake. Which is why, back to the conversation with David, the voices are so invested in getting us not to record these things and not to listen to them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. That's great. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
And actually really, you know, that then it the whole connecting with family becomes really exciting because it's an exploration and an opportunity to practice all this. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we go along and we get more confident about these things, it's actually possible to say to family, you know, here's what I've noticed. I come home and I feel like I'm 5 years old. You know, I start acting out like a little kid. Now, you have to be prepared. The siblings are going to go, yeah, we noticed that. Okay. right? And maybe they've noticed it about themselves, maybe they haven't, who cares? But you just start getting comfortable saying what's going on with you. And those voices in your head lose their power over you. Because as we know, their power is keeping these things a secret.
Definitely. And as a matter of fact, I've had some of those conversations with my sister, and those were the kind of highlights of the trip, to be able to share the, you know, those insights together.
Yes, exactly, because she's having them too. She just thinks she doesn't have anybody to talk about them with. Because we're conditioned to be afraid.
Yeah. Although I think she's a little less than I am.
Oh, good.
It's a projection, but
Well, you can find out. You can ask her. Right?
Yeah.
And she'll say, oh, no, I think you're blah, 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 blah. There we go. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, we're all projecting, aren't we?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. That's really helpful.
Oh, you're so welcome. Enjoy your run.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Dion. And that's a wrap, Sherry.
That's a wrap. Thank you for getting us through those technology shoals and thank you for the show. And
yes, sure.
See you next week.
Talk with you next week.
Talk with you next week. All right. No, Michael. No, Michael.
That's true.
See you next week. I'll see you and talk to you next week. All right. Looking forward to it. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Good night.